Of course, it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work though you are inactive, and that you take birth though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, man, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. Purport by His Divine Grace. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are not only bewildering, but also apparently contradictory. In other words, they are all inconceivable to the limited thinking power of the human being. The Lord is all-pervading super soul of all existence, and yet He appears in the form of a boar amongst the animal, in the form of a human being as Ram, Krishna, etc., in the form of a rishi like Narayan, and in the form of an aquatic like a fish. Yet it is said that He is unborn and He has nothing to do. In the Shruti Mantra it is said that the Supreme Brahman has nothing to do. No one is equal to or greater than Him. He has manifold energies, and everything is performed by Him perfectly by automatic knowledge, strength, and activity. All these statements prove without any question that the Lord's activities, forms, and deeds are all inconceivable to our limited thinking power. And because He is inconceivably powerful, everything is possible in Him. Therefore, no one can calculate Him exactly. Every action of the Lord is bewildering to the common man. He cannot be understood by the Vedic knowledge, but He can be easily understood by the pure devotees because they are intimately related with Him. The devotees therefore know that although He appears amongst the animals, He is not an animal, nor a man, nor a rishi, nor a fish. He is eternally the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. So now I'll read only translation to further slokas. My dear Krishna, Jasoda took up a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears, which washes the mascara from your eyes, and you were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings, and others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearmost devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Text 33. Others say that since both Vasudev and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly, you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. Text 34. Others say that the world being overburdened like a boat at sea is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. Text 35. And yet others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. So, Queen Kunti is saying that your appearance and disappearance is very bewildering. So, Queen Kunti is saying that your appearance and disappearance is very bewildering. So, Queen Kunti is a pure devotee, an eternal associate of Lord Krishna in this material world. She is saying it is very bewildering that you appear in so many different species like fish, turtle, an animal, human being, very bewildering. So Queen Kunti is a pure devotee, an eternal associate of Lord Krishna in this material world. But for Lord, who is inconceivably powerful, everything is possible. Srimad Bhagavatam has two sloka in beginning, in first canto, which are called Paribhas Sutra. Paribhas Sutra meaning paribhasha, definition of God. And that is vadanti tattvavidam tattvam yat jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabhyate. Lord is one, but one, without second. There is nobody equal to him, nobody above him. So that absolute truth, the Lord, the God, is perceived, realized in three different features. That is Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So Brahma is impersonal aspect of the Lord and has no attributes, nirgun, nirakar, has no akar, no form. So potency is very little, Brahma. Attributes are very little. Opulence is very little. Beauty, sakti is very little. In Paramatma form, it increases all these attributes. His potency, his form, his beauty, energy, potency, power, a little more than Brahma in Paramatma form. And Bhagavan iti sabhyate, in personality of Godhead, there is full power, full energy, full potency. Prasya, para, isha. Isha, Bhagavan, Krishna. Parasya, Parameshwar, Parasya Sakti, Vividaiva Suyate, Swabhaviki, Jnana Bal, Kriyacha. So that increases. So Krishna is the full understanding of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in Krishna, we see that full potency is there. Full opulences are there. Full attributes are there. for guna, it's called supreme personality of Godhead. Because Krishna is exhibiting all power, all strength, all beauty, all opulences. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasaha sriya. All these six opulences are exhibited by Krishna in full. So there is God, and full Godhead means he has full opulences, full potency, full attributes, guna, full everything. The God definition is given in these two slokas. The other sloka is Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indraadi Vyakulam Lokam Mrudayanti Yuge Yuge. So Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Etyacha Ansa Kalahapunsa. Srila Vyasadeva says here, whatever I narrated earlier, all 12 incarnations, unlimited incarnations, whatever I narrated, they are portion or portion of the portion of Krishna. But Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. So Srimad Bhagavatam is written about Krishna, to glorify Krishna, to define Krishna, to describe Krishna, the God. Right in the beginning, this paribhas sutras are there, sloka. Ete cha ansa kala punsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. So that Krishna has his original form that we see on the altar. Original form. That is blue in color, black is blue, and like a cloud, he has flute in his hand, and so many descriptions. We can go on and on about describing his form. Especially one sloka that describes him in Bhagavatam. Baraha Pidam Natavara Vapu Karaniyo Karnikaram Bibradvaso Kanaka Kapisham Vaijayantim Chamalam Randran Venu Adara Sudaya Purayan Gopa Vrindair Vrindaranyam Swapadaramanam Pravrisat Kit Kirti. This is his original form. So that Krishna, who is the supreme personality of Godhead, has all Shakti, all potency, all power. He is not bound by any things like such as material nature, maya, tamogun, rajogun, sattvagun. He is not forced into taking birth, in another words. He is not forced. Every living entity is forced to take birth. But Krishna, being a supreme personality of Godhead, he is not forced into taking a birth. But there are several reasons why he takes birth, and that is described here, which I read already, Queen Kunti saying, some say this, some say that, why you appear. So some say that you appear in the womb of Mother Devaki because in previous birth as Prushni Garbha and Sutapa they perform austerity, severe austerity for hundreds of years to please Krishna. And when Krishna got pleased, they asked boon that we want son just like you. So who can be son, their son, as good as Krishna? He has no equal and he has no above. So in order to fulfill the desire of his devotees, like Devaki and Vasudev, who were in previous birth, Prushnigarbha and Sutapa. So Krishna appears to please them. This is one of the reasons given by Queen Kunti. And it is the main reason. It is the chief main reason why Krishna appears in this material world, to please his devotees. He can do anything and everything through his potency, Swamsa, and even with empowered incarnations. He can do all these tasks to relieve the burden of the earth, to annihilate the demon, to re-establish religious principles. All these things he can do being in a spiritual world. He does not have to come. He can send his empowered incarnations such as Prabhupada and so many other incarnations to establish religious principles. He came as Buddha, as Lord. He came as so many incarnations, empowered, Saktavish avatar. And he can establish religion. And to annihilate demons, he can send Parshuram, his Saktavish avatar again. He can come as a Narsimha Dev, empowered incarnation of Krishna, Swamsha incarnation of Krishna. And he can kill biggest demon that ever exists in this universe, Hiranyakashipu. So he can send his incarnation. He has unlimited incarnations. As many ripples are there in a lake, that many incarnations of Krishna are existing in a spiritual world, unlimited. So, what was the reason for Krishna to come? To please his devotees. That was the main reason. A child, as for example, when small little baby wants mother, then you give that baby anything and everything, nice toys, nice everything, but it's not going to do anything good. A baby wants mother, only mother can satisfy the baby. Mother can feed the baby and baby can be very peaceful, blissful, happy, satisfied. So Krishna, devotee, and Krishna's reciprocation is like this. When devotees wants Krishna, then there is nothing else Krishna can send but himself. He has to come personally, like mother. So many other people than Vaishnavas says that, see, your God is taking birth in the womb of a mother. But they don't know that Lord is Bhakta Vatsal. He is very merciful and very loving to his devotees. He loves his devotees. And he would like to do anything and everything for his devotees. Bhakta Vatsal. So that's why he comes here, out of his love for his devotees. He comes into material world. Just like the Prabhupada tells a beautiful story about Akbar and Birbal. Akbar was a Muslim king of India, and Akbar, being a Muslim, and Birbal, his minister, being Hindu, Akbar is saying to Birbal, see, your God is running here and there and even taking birth. But our Allah doesn't do this. Our Allah doesn't do. So yes, God is, doing all these things because he is Bhakta Vatsal. He is very devoted to his devotee. And that's why Lord is coming. He is taking birth. So Birbal says, okay, I'll tell you why our Lord Krishna takes birth. Why? So then next day he just manufactured a beautiful statue form of his newly born son, maybe about 3-4 years old son Akbar had. So he made a nice statue, beautiful statue, replica of his son. And he put on the clothes of his son and look exactly like his son. So he told one of his maid servant, Birbal told maid servant, that please bring this statue form of his son, Akbar's son, when we walk along Jamuna on Red Fort. There is a Red Fort in Delhi, and that was his fort, Akbar's fort, and the Jamuna was flowing just next to the Red Fort wall. So they were walking, both of them, and there were some soldiers, bodyguards of Akbar, and this lady servant bring that statue, look just like his son. And Akbar saw, why is he bringing here my son? What is the reason in this and that? And she gave that baby to Birbal, and Birbal took and immediately threw into the Jamuna. And Akbar immediately jumped into Jamuna to save his son. And Akbar came out with that statue son of his. And he came out, and then Birbal said, my dear Lord, why did you jump into the river? Why did you? He says, my son. So, to save my son. He says, I was there. This Sipa, your bodyguards were there. You could have ordered them. They could have jumped into the river and save your child. Why did you jump? He says, my son. So then Birbal says, see, this is the way our God comes. That it is my devotees. My devotees wants me. My devotees wants to have a pleasure of me being their son, being their child. So he has no choice but to come himself. He cannot send anybody. He jumped into the river himself, Akbar. So this is the main reason why Lord comes in the material world to give pleasure to devotees, paritranaya sadhunam, to protect them, paritranaya, to protect his devotees. And why his devotees are in material world? He can take them back to the material world, back to his spiritual world. His devotees in material world doesn't have to be and suffer in material world. But he sends his devotees in material world to rescue, to deliver all his part and parcels, living entity, to deliver them. He comes and he sends his devotees. He can say, why don't you leave material world alone? It is very painful, it is very distressful. Why your devotees has to come? Why you have to come here? He can say that. But for a mother and a father, is good son or a bad son, they both are beloved to mother, father. Not that this is a bad son and hell with it. No. The bad son means they pay more attention to reform him, to correct him, to give him pleasure. Not that they just discard and ignore and just... No. So, in material world, those living entity who were rebellious to him, who were try to enjoy separate from him, try to become enjoyer like him. So then for correction, he sends living entity into material world. It's like a jail. Material world is like a jail where correction takes place, where living all these culprit, thieves and rogues and killers, they all are put into the jail because jail will correct them. What is the correction? That there is only one enjoyer in the kingdom, and that is king. And you cannot become king. In the kingdom, there can be only one king. So in spiritual world, only one enjoyer, that is Krishna. And those living entity who develop that independent desire of enjoying independently from Krishna, they are sent here in this material world for correction. That means they have to be tortured by Maya, and that is how they get corrected. So these living entities which are suffering, Krishna does not ignore them. And for that reason, he sends his devotees here. He comes himself here to establish religious principles and to give pleasure to his devotees, to deliver his devotees and the suffering living entity. He comes into material world. So this is the main reason why Krishna comes in material. He is unborn, but he is taking birth. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. Hey Arjun, I am beyond birth, death, old age and disease. Janma and karma cha me divyam. I am transcendental to birth and karmic reaction. Krishna is not bound up by birth. He is not forced to take birth. But in order to give pleasure to his devotees, Mother Devaki and Vasudev, he appears and gives pleasure. Unless Krishna enters into the womb of his devoted mother, the mother cannot have feelings of giving birth to the child. So Krishna can enter every atom. What is the problem for him to enter into the womb of a mother? There is no. And plus, he is not forced into taking birth, death, old age and disease. He is above all this. Living entity is unborn. द सोल देर इज नो बर्थ एंड डेथ, न जायते न म्रियते कदाचिन नायम भूत्वा भविता वान भूय अजो नित्यम शाश्वतोयम पुराणो न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे। सो लिविंग एंटिटी इज अनबोर्न, सो एज कृष्णा द सोल इज अनबोर्न, सुपर सोल कृष्णा इज ऑल्सो अनबोर्न। सो दैट्स वॉट इट मीन्स माई अपियरेंस एंड डिसअपियरेंस। कृष्णा सेज इट इज डिवाइन, इट इज ट्रांसेंडेंटल। कृष्णा अपियर्स इन अ डिवाइन वे, नॉट बाय इंटरकोर्स और सेमिनल डिस्चार्ज और एनी मटेरियल मीन्स। फर्स्ट ही अपियर इन टू द माइंड ऑफ वसुदेव, ही अपियर ही एंटर द माइंड ऑफ वसुदेव एंड देन ही अपियर इन टू द फ्रॉम माइंड ऑफ वसुदेव ही वेंट इन टू द हार्ट ऑफ मदर देवकी। दैट इज हाउ ही अपियर एंड देन ही appear into the womb of a Devaki just to give her pleasure of birth within the womb. So he entered into the womb, and when he first came, he gave darshan to Vasudev and Devaki as 8-foot-4-handed form of Vishnu, full headed hair, Sankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma in his hand. This is how Krishna appears, not like living entity who are forced into the womb according to their karma. According to karma, they are forced. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho upadyate striyo udar pravistam पुरुष रेत कर्ण आश्रय। कर्मणा देव नेत्रेन जंतु जीव देहो उपद्यते, दे आर फोर्स, लिविंग एंटिटी इज फोर्स इन टू टेकिंग बर्थ। कृष्णा इज नॉट फोर्स लाइक दैट। जस्ट लाइक अ किंग व्हेन ही एंटर्स इन टू जेल, ही इज नॉट फोर्स इन टू एंटरिंग अ जेल, बट ही कैन एंटर द जेल। The jail laws are not applicable to king. He can walk into jail anytime, he can walk out of the jail anytime. So Krishna can walk into material world and walk out of material world. He is not bound with laws of material nature. He is transcendental. Janma karma cha me divyam. Krishna disappeared transcendentally. It is stated in Bhagavatam that Krishna went back with his own body, not that he left body behind. Svatanum, that's a word used in Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Svatanum, he went back with his own body. He went back to home, back to Godhead, with his own body. There is no difference between Krishna, his soul, his body, his name, form, pastime, paraphernalia, abode, no difference. So Krishna went back home with his own body. He descends and he ascends. Just like a spider, we don't see his thread, but we see his spider. He comes down and walks on the floor, earth. And then that spider with the same thread can go up. So Krishna is like that. He is descending and ascending with his own body, just like a spider. He ascends and descends. Last part of his being here, the hunter, he pierces his feet with the arrow And then Krishna took that as a nimitta reason to go back. So if I pierce arrow into your leg, into your feet, anybody will die? Nobody will die. Who will die? If I pierce arrow into your heart, you will die. In your head, you will die. But if I pierce arrow or even gun into your feet, you will not die. And how Krishna is going to die? What is the reason that Krishna should die? Because of the arrow in his feet? So, this is to bewilder the materialistic people. Bewildering, it is. Kinti says that it is vidambanam. Vidambanam. It is very bewildering. So Krishna, he ascended with the same body and he visited the heavenly planet, heaven first. And in heaven he was greeted with garlands and nice music and decorations, and he was welcomed by all the inhabitants of heaven when he was going back to his abode. He went through heavenly planets. So Krishna descends and Krishna ascends. Now when he descends, he comes through Swet Dweep, where Lord Vishnu in Kshirodakshayi form resides. Lord Vishnu, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. So whenever there is a disturbance on earth planet and earth planet is overburdened by the demons, then it becomes unbearable situation for devotees, demigods. So Mother Bhumi was overburdened. She took a form of a mother cow and then she went to Brahma, Lord Brahma, praying that I am overburdened due to these demons and please do something about it. So Lord Brahma along with Lord Shiva, Chandra, Surya, Vayu, Agni, 33 crore demigods, 33 crore devata, they all went to the bank of Kshir Sagar, ocean of milk, Kshir Sagar, and they prayed with Purusha Sukta to Kshirodakshayi Vishnu that, my dear Lord, please come and relieve the burden of Mother Bhumi. Narasimha Mehta sings a beautiful song. He says, Sarva Devane Jare Bida Padi Samarantara Jami Bhavata Bhagi Budare Mehta Narasaina Swami Sukha Dukha Mana Mana Aniye Gata Satere Gadiya Tadate Koina Navatare Ragunathana Jadiya. So Sarva Devane Jare Bheeda Padi Samarya Antara Jami. So all demigods, when they become disturbed, they went to the Kshir Sagar, bank of Kshir Sagar, and they offer prayers. Samarya Antaryami, Krishna. Narasimha Swami means Krishna. Antaryami means Krishna. They prayed to Krishna, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. So all the incarnations comes on the earth planet through Kshirodakshay Vishnu, through Svetadeep, which is within this material universe. And that's why generally Hindu people believe that all these incarnations are Vishnu's incarnations. But actually it is Krishna's incarnation. Krishna came on earth planet by Kshetadip, which is Kshirodakshay Vishnu. So he came through there. And that's why the general populace says that Krishna is incarnation of Vishnu. But it is not so. Krishna is existing in spiritual world. And he came from spiritual world by or through Svetadip, through Kshirodakshay Vishnu on the earth planet. So all incarnation comes through Kshirodakshay Vishnu. Like very good example Prabhupada gives, that Srila Prabhupada says, I was existing in India and I took Air India flight plane and came out of Air India flight plane in New York, and New Yorker says that Prabhupada came from plane. He came from plane. But no, he came from plane, but he was existing in India. And he came through plane. So he comes through, Krishna comes through Kshirodakshay Vishnu. He comes through Kshirodakshay Svetadip. He comes from Kshirsagar. Kshirodakshay Vishnu. But Krishna is existing. And Krishna has unlimited incarnations. As many waves there are in ocean, that many incarnations, they ever exist in spiritual world. Not that Narsingadeva, when he comes, he is appearing that time. No. He is already existing in spiritual world. Matsya avatar, Kachya avatar, Varaha, Vamana, and all unlimited incarnations ever exist in spiritual world. And they come through the Kshirodakshay Vishnu, Svetadip, to this earth planet. And that's why we say that it is all incarnation of Vishnu. But these are all incarnations of Krishna. To all. Krishna is not the incarnation. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the one original personality of Godhead. And Vishnu and all other incarnations are Krishna's incarnations. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And this is Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is written about Krishna, not Vishnu. Krishna is established in Bhagavatam as one, without second, the Supreme Personality, original personality of Godhead. Mool, Purna Purushottam, Parameshwar, the one God, that is Krishna. So any question at all? Yes?
Is Buddha the incarnation of Krishna?
Yes. Yeah.
And why was he preaching something that's not Vedic?
Why would he?
Preach something that's not Vedic.
Right. Krishna wants to reform all living entity and ultimately wants to, his well-wisher, friend of all living entity. Krishna is the well-wisher father of all living entity. So he wants to reclaim all living entity back to home, back to Godhead. So when Buddha appeared, the people were, the Brahmins and all populace were performing hinsak yajna and offering innocent animals. Anyway, so time, place and circumstances, Buddha appeared to bring them back into Vedic culture. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.